The epistle for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God, for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much be as named among you as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose. But rather giving of thanks, for know ye this, and understand, that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first." And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee." But he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Do this in commemoration of me. And these words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, this morning I would like to share a story that Bishop Kelly told us a little while ago at the seminary. Many years ago, he was at Oyster Bay in Long Island, New York, for a priest meeting. And after the priest meeting, one of the parishioners of the parish called him and asked if he could go to the hospital to visit a certain Puerto Rican family, to visit them because their daughter was dying. And Bishop Kelly, of course, said that he would go right away. He arrived at the hospital and was first met by the mother of the daughter. The mother, of course, was heartbroken. Her daughter was only 19 years old, and she was indeed dying. And the mother was so broken and distraught because the girl had lived a very bad life. She was actually dying of a drug overdose. So Bishop Kelly went into the hospital room to see the young girl. The girl was in somewhat of a coma. She was unresponsive due to the drugs. So what a priest tries to do in such circumstances, he tries to get a response from the person. For example, the priest will put his hand in their hand or put his finger in their hand, and he will ask them to squeeze his hand or his finger so that the priest knows that the person is aware, or if they are aware or not, and if the person knows what is going on, so that the person can express sorrow for their sins by squeezing his hand. Because they can be aware but not able to respond to the priest. So Bishop Kelly said he tried a number of things to see if the girl would respond. But there was absolutely no response. So Bishop Kelly finally leaned over to the girl. He leaned over the bed and he said very slowly and clearly, he said in her ear, "I am a Catholic priest." He said, "I am going to forgive your sins." Bishop Kelly said her face immediately changed. In a split second, there were tears coming down her eyes. "Just a flood of tears," he said. The idea moved her. The fact that even at that moment of her life, when all seemed hopeless, God would forgive her from the hands of a priest. And so Bishop Kelly spoke to her and explained to her everything that he was going to do. My dear faithful, he was able to administer the last sacraments to her. And she died that night, well fortified with the sacraments. My dear faithful, today I would like to speak to you about the priesthood, especially since we are soon to have two more priests. This coming September, we will have two more priests. And as during this Lent, we are approaching Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday, we celebrate the night on which our Lord not only instituted the Blessed Sacrament, but he also instituted the priesthood. And Pope Pius XII says that there is no other position more exalted than that of the priest. And this is because St. Bernard says that powers have been given to the priest that have not been given to any king or emperor. Powers have been given to the priest, my dear faithful, that have not even been given to the angels or archangels. For example, a priest can forgive sins. He could free a soul of its sins, whereas an angel cannot. The priest can offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, whereas an angel cannot. And this is the greatest power of the priest: to take bread and wine, to consecrate bread and wine into the most precious body and blood of Christ. And our Lord gave this power to the priest when he ordained the apostles that first Holy Thursday night. When he said the first Mass, he consecrated the bread and wine into his own body and blood. And he turned to the apostles and he said, do this what I am doing in commemoration of me. And so each morning the priest works the greatest of all miracles. God, my dear faithful, actually obeys the priest. Every time the priest says the words of consecration, God obeys the priest and comes down upon the altar. The little book, The Imitation of Christ, says, as often as a priest celebrates Mass, it is as if Christ that very day is made man for us. It is as though he is hanging upon the cross, that he is suffering and dying for man's salvation. That is why the priest is ordained. The priest is ordained to offer sacrifice. He actually sacrifices the body and blood of Christ in what we say during the Mass in a mystical manner. But our Lord also gave the priests power to administer the other sacraments as well, so that we may obtain graces and the forgiveness of our sins. My dear faithful, let us especially remember this now that it is Lent, to remember the priest's role in regard to the confessional. That when the priest is in the confessional, he is there as Christ's representative. He is there not only to wash the soul clean of sin, but also to help the soul. Part of the role of a confessor is to be a physician, to help the soul practice virtue. So, my dear faithful, if there's ever a question that you have, never fear the confessional. Sometimes the devil tempts us. The devil tempts us to be worried about what the priest might think about what we're saying, being worried of confessing such and such a sin to a priest. We must ignore such temptations. Remember, no matter what sin you have committed, or how many times you have committed it, with true contrition and a firm resolve not to sin again, through the words of absolution which the priest says, those sins are washed away. Our Lord forgets about them. And let us, my dear faithful, never hesitate to ask the priest for the sacrament of extreme unction as well. Thus, I do remind you, my dear faithful, never hesitate, no matter what hour, what time, what seeming inconvenience there may seem to be, never hesitate to call on a priest when one was your own family or yourself is in need of the sacrament of extreme unction. Do not fear that you might inconvenience the priest to administer the sacraments to help souls, to help save souls, is his life. That is why he is ordained. It's not only his duty, but it's his love. He is ordained to save souls at whatever cost. The priest is even bound under pain of sin to risk his own life to administer the sacraments. And my dear faithful, if you are ever in doubt whether one needs the sacraments or not, you can always call the priest and he can help you make that decision. There is no greater consolation to the priest than to anoint a dying soul, to free a soul from sin which bars that soul from heaven, to loosen the soul from the clutches of the devil. But my dear faithful, great is the dignity of the priest, but great is also his responsibility for souls and to save his own soul. Thus, my dear faithful, the priest needs your prayers. Remember that although they do have such great power, they are mere men. The apostles were mere men. They had their faults and failings. Judas was ordained a priest that first Holy Thursday night. He was actually consecrated a bishop along with the other apostles. And this is what the devil tries to do. He tries to get the souls of priests especially. Because without the priest, we do not have the sacraments. Without the priest, there is no one to offer the Mass. We would be without confession if we did not have the priest. So in destroying the priest, the devil is really destroying many sources of grace. And many souls are lost. That is actually what happened to the holy priesthood and to the priest in the wake of the Second Vatican Council. That's why the Second Vatican Council is such a great tragedy and has such serious consequences. After Vatican II, the training and formation of holy priests was completely cast off. The rite of ordination was changed. Not only the rite, but the form. They actually changed the form so that the rite of ordination in the new church is doubtful. And finally, in the wake of Vatican II, many priests, even good priests, were completely brainwashed. I was actually sitting in the airport a couple weeks ago, and I was waiting for my flight. I was praying my breviary. The breviary is the official prayer book of the church for a priest that the priest is obliged to say. And as I was praying my breviary, an older man came up to me and he introduced himself as a priest. And he was a true priest. He was ordained back in the late 1950s. He wasn't wearing his collar, almost too embarrassed to wear it. He pulled it out of his pocket, but he said he doesn't wear it in public. And he still knew all the Latin prayers. He rattled off the prayers at the foot of the altar. He knew them by heart. But he said he was very happy with the changes made in Vatican II, the changes that were made. And he started talking about sacred scripture. And he told me how the nativity, that was all just a nice made-up story. Just a nice story for the kids to have at Christmas time. And he really believed this. He did not believe in the nativity. He actually went on to tell me some very disrespectful jokes. Some jokes bordering on blasphemy. Coming out of his mouth very easily. He never offered Mass anymore, but was rather spending his life helping the poor instead of saving souls through the sacraments. It was very sad to see a priest acting in this way. Bishop Kelly told us that what this priest was telling me, that was exactly what he was being taught when he was a seminarian. When he was a young seminarian, when the changes were being made. And this is what the devil rejoices in. When he has the soul of one of his priests. And so, my dear faithful, your prayers are necessary. Your prayers for our priest, that we stay true and strong to our divine calling. And again, my dear faithful, never hesitate to request their help, to ask to go to confession. Even if it's not confession time, you could ask someone else to ask for you, or to request the last rites. And my dear faithful, let us thank Almighty God that we do have true priest who can offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, true priest who can administer the sacraments. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.